Are you glad you're here? Are you sure? You're here to worship. We're here to study the Word of God, and I'm glad that I see some of you that are here for the first time. You just want to welcome you to Valley View. And if you're still looking for a church, I guess make this my personal invitation to stay here. A good group of family members here. Have you ever been in a storm? I've been in a few storms. I lived at Andrews for 2.5 years, and they get all kinds of storms. I was driving, and I didn't know if I was going or coming or going sideways or this way. It was just just like a whiteout, and the snow was going sideways. That's not a good storm to be in. I've been in thunderstorms. Those are kind of scary. It makes the whole building shake. I like the tropical storms better. I like to hear the rain just coming down really, really hard. And I was in Bolivia when one of those came by, and I was in a pool. And that was pretty neat to have more water coming down than you thought was inside the pool. And in Montemorelos, we're in a storm, but that's when I wasn't wise because it was also lightning and thundering, and we were swimming out there. But it's fun to have all that water coming down at you. Storms, sometimes you get stuck in storms, but the problem is that sometimes, what do you do when you find yourself in a storm and you don't have nothing? You don't have shelter. You're just out there in the middle of the storm. We were having evangelistic meetings, and I was just looking as the people were getting out of the buses there in Bolivia, because it was interesting to see them. They would stand there at the door of the bus, and they would kind of calculate how they were going to dodge the water. The problem was that once they stepped in, there was no chance. There was so much water coming down, they stepped out of that bus and they're... Some tried, and not even halfway from the bus to the building, they just gave up. They just... So what happens when you are caught in a storm? There is no shelter. There is nowhere to go. And sometimes everything that you try to do does not seem to work. And so I guess the question this morning that I want to just put out before you is, what will or would Jesus do if the problem that you were facing was an element that seemed unstoppable? When forces or trials come in your life, when there are problems that you think that you cannot handle, that they are so uncontrollable, the question is, what is Jesus going to do? But let me tell you this morning, plain statement here. And if this is all you remember after you leave, that is good. Jesus is powerful even in the midst of storms. Turn your Bibles, in your Bibles, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start reading verse 37. And it says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." It had been a very eventful day for Jesus that morning and afternoon, going into the evening. He was preaching by the waterside. He was talking to people. He was, as a matter of fact, Jesus was using parables. He liked to use parables. He liked to use stories. And he had been telling them great truths. He was using parables about the growing seed, the mustard seed, the light. And people were excited because they were sort of, not totally and completely, but they were beginning to understand great theological truths that Jesus was putting out there for them. You know that Jesus used simple words? I like to use simple words. You're going to seldom hear me use some tremendous long word like externocleidomastoid or something like that. I like simple words because I can't even pronounce those long words. And you know, Jesus used these very simple words. And he began to get a little bit tired. He had been speaking all day. He had been preaching. And he told the disciples, you know, could we go over to the other side? I need to get some rest. And then Jesus there in the boat, because I was preaching from the boat at times, and just right there was that pillow that I'm assuming the pillow was for the one that was going to be steering the boat. But Jesus went ahead and took that, and he just lay down because he asked them to go to the other side. The other side was Decapolis. Decapolis was between 6 to 7 miles from where they were. So that's how long the trip was going to be. 6-7 miles. And so Jesus laid down, and you know, when you're really tired, what happens? Yeah, you gotta sleep, ladies, maybe, or gentlemen. You know, I think it's happened to all of us at least once. You're there with your wife, and you're, hi, honey, how you been doing? And you keep talking, and then you look over, and they're like, gone. Gone the first minute when you first said hi, honey, that, and you weren't looking, and you told, and you know, hi, and 15 minutes later, you turned in. And Jesus was tired, so he went to sleep, and that's what happens when you're tired. It was a beautiful day. The lake was really, really calm. Have you ever been in a canoe when everything's really quiet? There in the lake, maybe you're the first ones out, and all you hear is that whoosh, whoosh. And that's how it was. Nice, quiet, very relaxing scene, the evening. Ah. One writer puts it this way. He said, when you travel with Jesus, you must always be prepared for a storm. That's the truth. How many of you have been traveling with Jesus? How many storms have you gone through or are going through? When you travel with Jesus, be prepared for a storm. Some people think that just because you're in the church that you are safe and protected. You know, if that was the case, our church would be full. But that is not the case. Some people don't understand that sometimes the storm comes inside the church. And some really think that the church is this safe haven it should be. But the water starts coming into the church, and the storm comes into the church. But you know what Jesus said? He never promised you that there would never be any storms. All he said is that I will be with you. That's what Jesus said. That is his promise. He's going to be with you going through those storms. When you are in a boat with Jesus, there will be storms. There will be storms. I can guarantee it. But I'll tell you one thing. Right now, this morning, I would rather be in a boat in a storm with Jesus than in calm without Jesus. I would. I don't know about you. And so the disciples started rowing and going, and the disciples are riding with Jesus, and they say that Galilee is a very tricky lake. It could change in an instant. About a week and a half ago, I think it was a week and a half ago, we went to KOBI, and we went through, and we got a tour, and while we were getting through the tour, we met Jeff Heaton himself, in the flesh. He was there, and everybody was, And we even got to see him tape a segment of the weather there while we were there. That was very, very interesting. And Jeff Heaton, what is he? What's his profession? He's a weatherman, and more technically, he is a meteorologist. And so this morning, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I am not a meteorologist. As a matter of fact, after I'm done, you will find out that I'm not a meteorologist. But I'm going to try my best to just explain something that happens here at the Lake of Galilee. And of course, I have to use what the scientists say, not what I say. And it sort of goes like this. The lake, there's the water, and the water then gets heat up. It gets heated up, and it turns into vapor. Vapor rises. And when vapor rises, it creates a vacuum. It creates an empty space. For some reason, nature abhors, nature hates a vacuum. So something has to come and takes its place. So what happens when that is happening? Well, the Galilee has some mountains all around it. And what happens is, when that vapor rises, cool air from the mountains comes across the mountain and comes and fills, takes up the space of that vapor that just went up. And so this is the cycle that begins. So the water is heated, the vapor becomes vapor, and it rises. The cool air comes from the mountain. It takes its place. You get the cycle? All right. While that is happening, something else happens. The air, some of it, does not make it over the mountains. It kind of gets trapped. And when it gets trapped, gravity pulls it down. So what's happening in the lake is that here we have that wind coming in. And then we have that other thing that's happening with the air getting trapped and gravity and pulling it. So in the lake, it's doing this. Okay? That wind. Now, they say that something else happens. It just nature takes it. This is what happens. Not only does it start doing this, but for some reason, it starts to twist. All right? It would be just like turning on your Vitamix or your whatever you have, your blender. You put it on puree, and that's what you see. But we're talking about Galilee. That's what's happening. Not only that, it could go winds up to 50 miles per hour, with gusts being registered up to 125 miles per hour. Now, did you get any of that? Did anything register when I said winds that are 50 miles an hour, gusts up to 125 miles an hour? Last time I checked, 74 miles an hour is considered a hurricane. And then we are reading this story at home and we are wondering why the disciples are so scared. Why are those guys, why are they all scared? It's just, it changes. It changes. Here we have Galilee just turning into this big, giant, mixing bowl. And then all of a sudden, the disciples are seeing something that should not be happening. The water should not be inside the boat. Water should stay outside the boat, right? And so the disciples begin to see that water is going into the boat, and they begin to panic. Let me tell you something else. These disciples are experienced fishermen. They know what they're doing. They have seen storms before, and I mean, nothing would scare them, but this time, there is something about this storm that is a scary storm. The wind is causing a major problem, and the water is coming inside of the boat, and the ship, the boat, is about to go down. There's a translation, one version of the Bible that puts it this way. Yeah, it says, "Master, don't you care that we are going under? Don't you care?" And Peter, I could just imagine Peter. He was somewhere. Because Peter was the one that's always wanted to be in control. Peter was the one that could fix anything. Peter was the one that was right there saying, it's just water in the boat. But you know what? He was not in control this time. I believe that the Lord sometimes allows storms, allows water, so to speak, to come into the boat so we could realize that sometimes we need to pray. We need to pray. Could you imagine if we were able to handle every problem and every situation that came our way? When would you find time to pray? I think that sometimes God is not receiving the glory that He needs or that He deserves. And what happens is He allows for the wells to dry up. And when the wells dry up, we will turn to Him, because He is the only one that can find a solution to the problems of our life. He is the only one. And then when we realize that it wasn't us that did whatever we did, then we end up giving Him the honor and the glory that He deserves. So the storm is raging, the wind and the thunder, the water are all going into the boat, and Peter and all the disciples, they have lost it. They're in the middle of the storm, and then all of a sudden, you get this, "Master, don't you care that we are perishing?" A few weeks back, we had our quarterly was talking about Bible study and how sometimes we need to put things in the correct perspective and historical perspective. This does not make any sense. You know, I've heard it suggested that it was that way. "Master, don't you care that we are perishing?" Have you ever been in the middle of the storm? It is noisy. It is really noisy. So this aspect of someone, one of the disciples getting up and saying, "Master, in a storm, there is no time to whisper." A storm is noisy. And when storms of in your life come your way, you know what a storm is like. Now, when you were in a storm, you could whisper little cute prayers. But you know that when the storm really hits home, your prayers are not cute little whispered prayers. You cry out to the Lord. You cry out. When the real trial comes into that your life, we change the way we pray, don't we? Everything was going fine. All the churches were just praying just fine. 9/11 hits, and all of a sudden, the churches begin to pray like they should have been praying before that happened. Trials have a way of having their own noise. And when you find yourself in a trial, when you find yourself in that kind of a storm, you need to cry out for help. And here we have the disciples crying out and probably just wondering, whose idea was this anyway? Why do we find ourselves here in the middle of this lake? If your answer, or if the answer that they all came to the conclusion was, well, the Lord told us to, then I'll tell you what, that is the best answer that you could have. Because if you find yourself in a situation that way, and you could answer the question, why am I here? And you could answer, because the Lord told me to, then that is just fine, because the Lord also tells you that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's something else that is very interesting, and we find it there in John 5:30. John 5:30 basically says is that Jesus Christ Himself put the power down. He took off His power of God, and He put it aside. And so, Jesus Christ came to be like one of us. Which makes me think then that the only reason that Jesus Christ was able to sleep through the storm was because He had complete confidence that His Father was in control. He recognized that He could call on Jesus, and when He would call on His Father, He would receive an immediate blessing. In the resting that He was doing, He was there with a pillow. While all these guys were screaming, writing their last wills, if they had, they were going to die. Jesus was there in the back, just snuggled in that pillow. And why? Because He trusted that His Father had full authority of what was happening. And so Jesus is sleeping, and then they say, Jesus, don't you care? Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus care? And I agree with you 100%. Jesus cares. Jesus cares, the Bible says, about the sparrows. He knows when a sparrow falls. He feeds the birds. And if He cares about the sparrows, let me tell you one thing. He cares about the health problem that you have. He cares about the financial problems that you are having. He cares about the child that has been breaking your heart all these years. He cares about all the situations, the misunderstandings, the problems that you are facing. He cares. Yes, He does. And not only does He care, and not only is He powerful, but He is also a God that is compassionate, loving, merciful, and patient. And so Jesus was sleeping in the boat. It's kind of hard to imagine. There's a storm going on, 50 miles an hour to 125 miles an hour, the wind, and He is sleeping. And then the Bible says one thing. Jesus stands up. How did He do this? You know, to be honestly, I don't know. That boat was being tossed from here to there. It was going up and down. It was probably going like this. And the wind was just, I mean, hammering that boat. The water was going into the boat. The wind and the water that was going sideways. The drops of water were going through their clothing, and it was stinging them. Have you ever been in rain where it kind of stings? That was happening. And then it says, Jesus stood up. Why did he stand up? I'll tell you why he stood up. Because it wasn't going to be the last storm that a child of God would go through. And the Lord God needed to show you that Jesus Christ is and was and will continue to be powerful enough to handle any storm. And so he stands up and he calls on his Father. This morning, I would just like to tell you that it is the power of God that can make you stand through any storm. Some of you have been in storms, and some of you have stood. And instead of being knocked down on your face, you have stood in the middle of the storm. And why was that? Winds that should have knocked you down, winds that should have discouraged you, winds that should have just placed you in a state of depression. Why? Why were you able to stand? Because Jesus Christ was standing there with you. Because it wasn't your own strength. It was the strength of Jesus himself that got you through that storm. And so Jesus stands up and he speaks to the wind. The wind that was blowing out of control. The wind that was causing the Galilee to be like a Vitamix. And he speaks. And the wind recognizes the voice of Jesus. The command that Jesus gave there was literally, be quiet. Be mute. Stop making noise. That was the command that Jesus gave. And when Jesus speaks, things happen. And when Jesus spoke, everything was quiet. When you get in a storm, When this storm comes into your life, you don't need words. You need action. Have you ever gotten in a storm and somebody comes and starts to philosophize with you? You know what? When you are in a storm, you do not need words. You need to do something about it. When you're at the end of your rope, when you're there with your last dime, and somebody comes and tries to just talk with you, that's not going to help you. You need somebody to do something for you. You already know and recognize that you're in trouble. And that is why in Luke chapter 8, when the disciples called on Jesus, they did not use the term didaskalos. Didaskalos is the Greek word for teacher. In Luke 8, they do not use that term. The term that they use was epistates. An epistates means commander, superintendent. That's what it means. It means someone who is in control of powerful things. So in the midst of a storm, they did not need didaskalos. They needed epistates. They needed a commander in chief. That is Jesus Christ. And they called on Jesus, and he spoke to the wind, and the wind stopped making noise. It is no wonder that the disciples, the Bible says, instead of being happy and rejoicing and saying, praise the Lord, they were afraid. Because the commander in chief had spoken and the wind had heard his voice. Jesus has the power to calm any storm. And I am so glad that when the storms of life come our way, we could call on Jesus, and he is the one that could quiet our storm. He could stand up and say to the wind, be quiet. Don't scare them anymore. It is enough. Stop it. And how does that happen? Again, I don't know. I don't know how that happens. But I do know one thing. That he told the fire not to burn those three Hebrews. And when he spoke to the fire did not burn. He told the lions not to eat their food. And they were really hungry. They hadn't eaten in days. And here they throw this juicy Daniel at them. And the God says, don't eat. And the lions did not eat. And then how do you know, he told the digestive juices of that big fish, do not eat Jonah. And when the juices heard that, they didn't do anything. You know, I don't know how things happen. I know one thing, that when Jesus speaks, things happen. When you are in a storm, or maybe some of you right now, as I'm speaking, some of you find yourselves in a storm. Some of you are being hit by those winds, hurricane winds. When you find yourself in a storm, call on Jesus. Because when you call on Jesus, he will stand up and do something to bring peace into your heart. I can guarantee it. The hymn says, peace, peace, wonderful peace. I'm going to invite you to open your hymnals. What number is it? 466. And I'm going to also invite you to stand. Let's stand together as we sing this song. Peace, peace.
Far away in the depths of my spirit. coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the innermost soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Weary soul without gladness or comfort or rest, accept of this peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father.
Before we pray, I'd just like to ask if there's anybody here this afternoon that is going through a storm, I would just like to invite you to open up your heart and ask the Lord to speak to your soul. Ask the Lord to stand up for you and quiet that storm. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus Christ. We want to thank you that Jesus has all the power, that even the storms listen and they stop making noise. And so, Father, I pray that any individual here that at this moment right now is opening up his or her heart to you, asking for some quiet in their life, I pray that you, Jesus, Lord God Almighty, would stand up in the midst of their storm and ask the storm to be silent. Be with us as we leave this sacred place. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.